Good evening. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is John and I am an alcoholic.
Hey John.
For those of you that care to join us, let us now open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
All right, the Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are located across the main foyer up the small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions at the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are in step four. And the way we handle step four in this group is we split it up into two parts. And we did part one last week. We're doing part two this week. So if you'd like to read along with us, again, we're on step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We're going to start reading on page 67 with a paragraph that starts with "Notice that the word." Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did not we, ourselves, set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. David, you want to start?
Sure. My name is David. I'm an alcoholic.
David.
And my sobriety date's October 22nd of 2002, and I actually will be switching to this home group coming up at the next month. So I have a other home group that I'm leaving, Bayview, which meets on Saturdays, which I have trouble attending. So I'm switching days. So I like this fear. You know, when I first got sober, I just thought I was a nice guy that drank too much, to tell you the truth. I mean, you know, and I was not that fearful. Maybe of snakes, but other than that, it wasn't really like, and DWIs, because I had gotten a DWI coming in, and so I was like, you know, and so I didn't really have an idea of what that meant. You know, like how much it really consumed my being, really, you know, and I stopped drinking, and that's kind of like when the fear started. It almost felt like, you know, like I started to be aware of it, you know. Even asking somebody to be my sponsor was like, I was in fear, because I have some other issues with religion, and I thought this was like an Amway or like some type of cult kind of thing, you know. And I was like, I don't want to have to ask this guy to be my sponsor, and what's going to come with that whole Pandora's box. But I eventually did, you know, and I started going to meetings, and even just asking this guy to pick me up, there was like this barrier, you know, like with There's like an emergency brake in between cars. And I thought, if this guy's hand kind of crosses over, I'm jumping out. You know what I mean? Like, that's it, you know? And because I didn't know what was happening. You know, this guy offered to pick me up, and I'm like, okay, you know? And I don't know how people are trying to be of service and trying to help me, just to go to any lengths to help me when I'm asking for help. You know, I always thought that there's supposed to be this angle, you know, and so I don't understand that stuff, you know, and so I just thought there was some that he wanted. I didn't have anything to offer other than myself, you know, so I was a little worried about that. And so I, you know, I kind of go through and I start writing this four step, and I start to see really, like, you know, the first two columns are easy for me. You know, like, I start talking about her, them, him, you know, whoever, you know, and I start putting these people down, and that part gets, you know, all the way down to, like, elementary school, you know, about this girl that ripped up this, do you like me, check yes, you know, letter in my face. I'm like, you know, in third grade, and I was like 26 when I was writing my, you know, that's a long time to carry that grudge, you know, and it affected everything from that point, you know, and it's, we'll talk more about that in the next coming paragraphs, but, you know, I have all this fear that's, that is a, like, it just touches into every aspect of my life, you know, and I mean, I start writing these things down, and what they did to me and how it affected me, and it literally, it was like money, sex, power, and prestige. I had no power. I don't know where the power came from, but it was like the lack of power, I guess, was the fear in it and stuff. And I just start seeing how fear like just controlled my life, you know, and so and how a lot of the times, you know, one other thing I wanted to mention about that too is, like, I started to see quickly, like, as I started writing down that stuff, like, how I did set the ball rolling in a lot of these things, you know. I step on people's toes and they retaliate, and it starts to be a humbling experience, you know, and how this stuff happens. So I guess I'll end it with that.
All right. Dan?
Howdy. I'm Dan. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August 23rd, 2010, and my home group is Bon Air Big Book up in Richmond, and we meet Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock. If you're ever in town, Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, come on by. We'd love to have you. Have a service position. I also do service work with the district. Have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor. This paragraph really... I can really relate to, because my whole life I have been just consumed by fear. I wouldn't have told you that when I started drinking, but I soon discovered that it did a marvelous job of hiding my fears. I could go out and interact with people that terrified me, and no big deal when I have a couple drinks under my belt. You know, pursuing romantic interest became doable because no inhibitions. And, you know, when I came into AA, and of course I was terrified to be here, and terrified of getting a sponsor, but I did, because I'd been beaten down. I'd been beaten down into submission. Into submission, into a state of reasonableness. And I was willing to take some action in that direction. So I got a sponsor, and I knew what the fourth step was. I'd seen it on the wall. I had made a decision my very first time in an AA meeting that I was never gonna do that. But, you know, working with a sponsor, that changes things. So part of the fourth step was writing out my fears inventory, and I didn't think it was going to be so long a list, but I was afraid of everything, and it. One of the great parts about doing a four-step with a sponsor is that the sponsor, my sponsor in particular, pointed out themes Yeah, because it was the same thing over and over again. And basically, a lot of my fears came down to I'm not good enough. I'm just afraid I'm so much worse than everybody else, and I'll never measure up. And it was, you know, powerful to see that on paper. And, you know, I believe that I'm an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. It doesn't matter what's going in my life, I'm going to drink. Drinking is my solution. That's my default position. But I certainly used alcohol to bury those fears. So I'm going to make it clear, at least in my experience, my fears didn't lead to drinking, which led to me being an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic and I drank because I'm an alcoholic, but it did a really good job of masking my fears. And this was one way that I got to at least become free in some sense, at least get the ball rolling. It's as we start to grow out of them. I'm 3.5 years sober. It's not over yet. I still battle my fears. But today, you know, I'm not hiding them under a fifth of vodka and hopefully dealing with them in a mature way. So we'll see. Thanks.
Thanks. All right, on page 68, we're going to read two paragraphs. The first one starting with perhaps there. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. We are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us do, and humbly rely on Him. Does He enable us to match calamity with serenity? We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. David?
Thanks, John. As I was saying before, like, I had a couple of different, I had some issues with God when I first got sober. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. You know, I just had a lot of that stuff kind of drilled into me when I was younger and throughout growing up and stuff, whether it was through my parents and the religion that I had kind of grown up on, or different times in my life, I had kind of sought something, you know, and I had gone through a couple of different religions, essentially, kind of looking and kind of poking around on them, and they had, you know, there was a couple of Muslim guys that would come to this place I worked, and you know, they were really strict. They would like wash their hands and do all these prayers and stuff, and I started to be interested in it, and they told me they didn't eat bacon, they didn't smoke, and they didn't drink, and I was like, strike one, strike two, strike three, done, you know what I mean? Not having any of that. And then but then it stirred up a question in me, though, with my mom's religion. I was brought up Catholic, and I was like, what about if these guys are right? You know what I mean? And my mom's wrong. And I brought that up to my mom, and she was like, you're going to hell. You know what I mean? She was like, you're wrong, you know? And I'm like, I don't know, you know? And little by little, drinking just kind of took a power greater than myself and just kind of pointed it to me, you know? And I was my higher power, really. You know, and I didn't really think that God didn't love me or anything like that. I just didn't really rely on a power greater than myself, you know. And so when I came into AA, God and religion were very, like, it just meant the same thing to me, you know. And what I came to find out, kind of like what I was talking about with my first sponsor and him picking me up and stuff like that, looking back, especially even towards this time of my sobriety, it was like, I started to believe in these guys, you know, and he was just helping me out just to be helpful, you know, and I didn't understand that stuff, you know, and the thing that happened was that I could wrap myself, like my head around a power greater than myself and a group of drunks trying to help me stay sober, you know? And these steps were gonna kinda pull me from wherever I was at and kinda pull me to the other side to relieve me from the obsession of drink, really, you know? And that's what I could wrap my head around, you know? And as the longer I stayed sober and the more time that kinda went between my last drink and these steps, like I started to realize that, I don't know, I just started to get more hope in that I could see that this was something that I would see people, and I don't know if I necessarily held them on a pedestal or not, but I could really see these guys getting better and that they had a conviction in the actions that they were taking and that it was working in their life. There was no doubt about it, you know. The stuff that they were saying that they related to me, they weren't doing anymore, you know. I'd gotten sober in a big group, and you know, every day it almost felt like, you know, looking back, it felt like every day, like people were, something different was happening. You know, amends were taking place and things were like kind of changing in their lives for the better, you know. Some, not all the time, like there was some setbacks, but there was always like a solution, common solution, kind of going forward and progressing, you know. And so that kind of gave me, especially at this point in my sobriety, when I was first going into doing my four step, it really started to kind of give me an idea of that this here was something that I could start to get some conviction on, because I had all these things with that, you know, like I said, that I could see other people and that had faith and all that stuff, but I was hanging out with these people so much that I could see it really working in their lives. So, you know, at times I would get fearful, whether it was, you know, even coming up to like the fifth step and stuff, like thinking about that and even writing the stuff and kind of writing it on paper and having it around, you know, I started to, I guess, to believe that this would work for me and that it would be all right, you know, regardless of the outcome of the different relationships, the job. Even throughout my sobriety, it's been that way, you know. When I've had fear, somebody used to tell me that it's like the opposite spectrum of faith, you know. And to try to really go back into having a faith that God is under control, you know. And regardless of the outcome, things will be better regardless of what happens, whether I get fired, whether I don't get fired, whether I get a promotion, you know. And stuff like that. So that's it.
Damn.
All right.
Thank you.
You know, coming into AA, you know, I had religious issues too. I had been in a church in my youth. I had long since put that behind me, I thought. And coming in here, I wanted nothing to do with the G word. And I didn't like it that it was in the steps and in the traditions. I was like, oh man, I don't want to deal with that. And what I found was that, I think David mentioned it, using the people in the rooms, the groups of AA as my higher power. And that worked really well to get me started. And my sponsor told me my relationship with a power greater than myself would grow as time went on, and that has been my experience. However, in this paragraph, it's talking not only believing in a God or in a power greater than ourselves, but trusting God. That's different. That's way different. One of my favorite speakers, he goes around the country, one thing he talks about to describe trusting rather than believing is, you know, if you ever go to the circus, you see the high wire act. There's the high wire guy with the wheelbarrow, and you can have all the belief in the world that he's going to make it across just fine. If you had faith in him, you'd get in the wheelbarrow. And so it's like, okay, Dan, you have trust in God, get in the wheelbarrow. Oh no. No, I'm staying on the ground, thank you very much. And So trust, trust in God is hard. What I have to keep remembering when I'm faced with that is, you know, you trusted yourself. Talking to myself. You know, I put all my faith in myself, and my life was a wreck. I ended up in my house alone, drinking myself to death, and at the end with a knife to my wrist, wanting desperately to kill myself and too chicken to do it, thank goodness. That's the best I could do. So why don't you let God take over and see what happens? In the second paragraph, again, coming in and since leaving that church, I always felt that people of faith were kind of weak-minded, that religion was the opiate of the masses. And that's been a hard prejudice for me to set aside. And that's one of the things my sponsor and I work on, is putting aside my baby elephant beliefs that I've had since I was a kid, or since I was younger, and just putting that aside and having a new experience. So this paragraph is new to me. But it is amazing as time goes on, and you know, every day it gets a little different, and my relationship with higher power grows. So that's been my experience.
Great. All right. Further on page 68, the real reason you guys came tonight. Now about sex. All right, now about sex. Many of us needed an overhauling there. But above all, we tried to be sensible on this question. It's so easy to get way off the track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes. Absurd extremes, perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex, who bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think we do not have enough of it, or it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school would allow a man no flavor for his fare, and the other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? David.
Straight pepper diet. All right. I wish I had some exciting stuff to talk about here. I liked what Dan was talking about earlier about, you know, how alcohol really takes away my fears and inhibitions for stuff. And in the beginning of the night, in my earlier days of drinking, I had every intention of going out to the clubs and bars to meet a fellow, you know, patron of the night. And that never really materialized, you know. Alcohol has an incredible effect that once I start drinking, I don't really care what's going on, you know. And once I drink to excess, and by the time I get enough courage to go ask a girl out to dance or out to anything, I'm stumbling, you know, probably peeing myself already, you know. Might have some dinner on my shirt, you know, and it's like, get away from me, you know, and I'm like, whatever, you know, and I just kind of walk away, black out, and do it all over again the next day. And so what, you know, this really pertains to me, I feel like, in sobriety, you know, and how once I got sober, you know, I felt like a relationship would fix me, you know. And and I think, you know, I was 25, 26. I don't know if that's a bad thing or whatever, you know, if that's normal or not. But it was, I felt like, you know, now that I'm sober, maybe that's my problem. You know, I was drinking and stuff. And that's not the case, you know. And my sponsor never gave me, like, this, like, one rule thing. It was just no one wanted anything to do with me for, like, the first year of my sobriety, you know. And so, you know, I think you know, it's true. Like, you know, you have different schools of people that will say, you know, who cares about that stuff? And some people are like, don't have sex or don't do this for a certain amount of time and all this stuff. And to me, somebody like very early on, people would tell me, you know, the most important relationship that I have is with my sponsor, you know, and that's the first relationship that I should be getting into in AA, you know, and so I should get a sponsor, you know, check, you know, so I get that and I like start doing the steps, you know, and the thing was that people always told me since I've been sober, was like, you know, you should, as long as you're honest with a sponsor, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. I mean, you know, just be honest, you know, with what's going on, you know, and so I tested that out, you know, and I've have gotten into my own issues with that stuff and one night stands that turn into like 6 months relationships, you know, and different things like that. And I've paid consequences for my actions, you know, and my sponsor at times had told me before, you know, it was like, you're gonna drink if you keep acting that way, you know, and so it's something that it has put it in perspective, you know, my actions eventually, if I don't change, my sobriety date will, you know, and so I had to really take a look at my actions in that area of my life, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I still, you know, the only time I've sponsored a couple of guys that kind of the same deal, you know, and I've only told one guy that I sponsored to not do that, you know, because it was clear, like you could kind of see, it was very clear that it was like, you're going to go out, you know, you're going to go out if you do this. And he did it. And I don't know what happened to him, you know, quickly got a different sponsor and kind of did his own thing, you know, and so it's just something that I've kind of seen people take hard stances on, and I don't know, I can't really be the arbiter of anybody's sexual relationship, sexual actions and all that stuff, so you know, I have my own issues with that stuff. That's all I gotta say about that, so.
You know, aside from being in a different group of bars, we were a lot alike. Because I did a lot of bar drinking. Those are my good days. And I would go there, you know, I wanted to have fun, of course, but I wanted to meet people as well. But truth be told, once I had a few drinks in me, I could have cared less. It was all about the drink. And, you know, I can look back and there were several people I dated that could have been really good relationships, and I ruined them with my alcoholic behavior. You know, I turned out to be very selfish and self-seeking. Imagine that. You know, Bill Wilson described me on page 60 through 62. You know, I'm just self-riot, self-will run riot. And yeah, my drinking in bars was a lot like that, and a lot of one-night stands, and I think a few that could have been relationships that ended badly. And you know, part of me regrets that, and part of me knows it was just something I had to go through. Hopefully, with what I'm learning here and in working the steps, my future is going to look different. Now, my sponsor has always been, you know, you get through the steps. You get to step 8 or 9, and whether that takes a year or that takes 6 months. But once you get through working the steps and maybe you start sponsoring, then you know, think about dating. Other than that, there were no rules. But I have seen many, many cases of the younger people that come in, you know, the teenagers and the early 20s, and dating becomes very much a distraction for them in early sobriety, and they leave and they drink again, and they come and they go and they come and they go and they come and they go, and some of them don't come back, some of them die, And it's really, really sad. You know, I'm grateful in a way that I was older when I got sober, because that wasn't my story. I kind of got all that wild living out of my system, I think. We'll see. I guess that's it.
All right. Now we're going to move over to page 69. And start with a paragraph that says, We reviewed our own conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What should we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed.
Sweet. You know, when I did my sex inventory, I really started to see how I was selfish, like Dan was saying, selfish in a lot of my relationships prior to coming to AA, and even over time, even in sobriety, since I've done a few four steps, and that selfishness continues. It doesn't stop. Like the day I stopped drinking, unfortunately, I was still selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate. You know, did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy? Yes. You know, I have done that. I've done all those things, you know, and into sobriety, you know, and that, like I was saying before, you know, I had a couple of long-term relationships before I got sober. So that a lot of this stuff happened after I got sober, and I had to really start to look at my actions, you know, over time, because if I don't change, my sobriety date was going to change. And so I've had to look at that, you know, and for a while there, like, you know, the sane and sound ideal for our future sex life, when I was new in sobriety, I thought that meant like I was supposed to like describe Mrs. Wright, you know, and like I realized quickly after that, going through the fist up, is that that's not the case. You know, it's really like the sound, the way I've gotten to understand it is that it's actually how I'm gonna act in my sex life. How am I gonna be and how am I gonna have this sane and sound ideal to be with this mate, you know? I'm married now, and so it's like, you know, how am I gonna be with my wife, you know? And I stumble with this stuff, I think, still, you know, and I've been selfish, you know, and dishonest and stuff, and even when I didn't even know I was doing it, you know, and there's been times, you know, since we were married, like that my wife has had to talk to me, you know, and be like, hey, you know, what are you doing, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm just a personable guy. I don't know, like, you know, my space, you know? And she's like, you better figure it out, you know? Because that's not happening, you know? And so over the years, I've really, like, you know, have really had to check myself, you know? Because I have another person that I have to think about, you know? It's not just me, you know, and so it's an ongoing, this thing, like this part here, to me, I feel like it's something that I have to revisit constantly, you know, and I have to remember always that my sex powers were God-given, you know, and therefore good, and I have to not use them selfishly or lightly or whatever, and also just It's not all about me in that area, you know, and how, yeah. So, Anyway, yeah, so we'll stop there.
Yeah, was it selfish or not? And I'd have to say upwards of 100% in mine, it was like selfish. And actually, at one point, I think when I was doing my fifth step and reading this to my sponsor, she said, just stop. It's the same thing. And it was the same pattern over and over and over for years. I think it's funny, same thing as David. You get this ideal that you start forming and asking questions, what does the ideal look like? What is this going to look like? And I'm thinking, oh, I'm making out my checklist for a future husband. And as I find out, that's not the case. And what I'm doing is making a checklist of things that I should do and I should be if I can live up to my standards. Whatever that turns out to be. Again, a lot of times that changes. Because I have these prejudices that came in the rooms with me. I got sober with them. And again, I have to be willing to put aside the prejudices, put aside the old ideas, to have a new experience and be willing to have that look differently than I thought it was going to look. Making amends, I would say the vast majority, I was told, no, you leave that person alone. You've done enough harm already. And that's fine. I guess that's it. Other than, you know, I've never heard God vocally. So more often than not, I hear God through the voice of my sponsor. So I'm willing to trust and not go out and do my own thing.
All right, thanks. All right, we've got two more readings left, so
I'll talk about that.
Please feel free to talk as much as you want about sex. All right, the next paragraph we're going to read starts off with whatever our ideal turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we do not bring about still more harm in so doing. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsel with persons is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex as others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice.
Like I said, I had gotten sober somewhat young, and I had like a 10-year relationship before that, and a couple other ones that were pretty long. And I wasn't, when I first got sober, I wasn't necessarily ready to settle down, you know. And I don't understand, like, for a long time, I didn't understand what dating meant, you know. I don't know if that's an alcoholic thing or it was just me, you know, but it was like, let's go out on a date, I love you, you know, and, you know, and that was not the ideal that I had written about in the paragraph before, you know. I've hit my stumbling blocks on this stuff, you know, and I was willing to grow towards not getting married for a while, you know, and but there was the girl that got away, you know. There was always that girl that got away, and when I first got sober in this time of my life, like when I was first going through these steps, she was one of the first people on my four step, you know, and I was gonna make amends to her and tell her, you know, because to help her get over everything, you know. And we started dating right after I got sober for a little bit. And I'll tell you this, about that relationship, I started going to AA, you know, and there, she was very understanding. She kind of had this thing with me where, you know, she told me I was selfish and a jerk when I was drinking and stuff. And I mean, I didn't even know what selfish meant. I mean, that's how out there I was, you know, like I had never heard that word at the bar, you know, like that's not something that I really paid attention to, you know what I mean? So I asked her, like my sponsor had given me this thing to talk about how I was selfish in my relationship, and she was like, "You're selfish," you know, and I'm like, "What?" You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And so, I start having these. I start going to AA, you know, and after a while, like after 2 months of being sober, she's like, "Why don't we?" You know, we both worked during the week, and I would go to meetings at night, and by the time I would get home, she would be asleep and stuff. And so she was like, I would never see her on the weekend. So it was like on the weekends, but I would go. I was like very religious about going to meetings every night, you know, cause that was the thing that was saving my life, you know. And so she was like, well, why don't you not go on Saturday night so we can go on a date, you know. And my sponsor, I was like, you know, I got to talk to my sponsor about this, you know. So I like run over to my sponsor and he's like, just have compassion, you know, just be compassionate towards her needs. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean? And so I have some issues, you know? And so I'm like, I'm not going to stop going to meetings. I love you. I'm going to meetings. And so I just keep going to meetings, you know? And eventually, to make a long story short, she was like, you know, I don't see you. I don't know you. Like, it's either me. Essentially, it was like either me or, you know, meetings or whatever. And I was like, and I started to think about it. And I was like, I have not been sober for over 2 months since I was 15, you know. So I'm going to continue to do this. And I pray that if, you know, we were supposed to be, we're going to be. And if not, that she finds somebody and I find somebody and we're good, you know, because I could slowly see myself like cutting out, like to me, especially in that time, I was so defenseless against the drink that I could see myself like once I get a break, whether it's exercise, whether it's like going to work on time, like once I hit a bump in the road, I fall apart, you know. And so I was like, I could slowly start to see myself Saturday, Friday, and like cutting them out little by little and not going to a meeting and then drinking. And I was like, I had already talked myself into a drink, you know, by that braid, that thought, you know. And so when I came to doing all this stuff, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to make amends to her, you know, put her down because I didn't show her compassion, you know. And my sponsor was like, leave her alone, you know, leave her alone. And so a year later, like 13 or 14 months later, I'm, you know, I finally got a girlfriend in AA, and I'm like going to school, doing all right, you know, got a year of sobriety under my belt. And out of the blue, she calls me, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, like I freak out, and she wanted to meet up with me. She wanted to meet up, and I'm like, okay, I got to check my schedule. I'll call you back, and I call my sponsor. And he's like, well, why do you want to meet up with her? You know, and I'm like, I can't really be honest about that. You know, like, I don't know. And so so he was like, you shouldn't meet up with her. Have you told her about your other girlfriend? Like, about your girlfriend? And I was like, no, I've not told him about, you know. So he was like, that's probably not a good idea, you know. And so I call her up the next day, and I'm like, I don't think I should go. I don't really have good intentions of meeting up with you in this. And she was like, I just wanted closure. You know what I mean? She's like, I don't want to get back together with you. I just wanted to just, you know, you hurt me. And I wanted to let you know that about it. And I'm like, okay, you know. And so she just goes off for like a, you know, good 20 minutes about how much of a jerk I was and stuff. And that was it. I mean, that was it. That was like the extent of what she wanted. And I was like, okay, you know. And so over the years, I've kind of gotten into other relationships and stuff like that. And where I have, you know, been done harm and done all this stuff, and a lot of the times my sponsor, I've kind of gone back to, like, you know, if I don't change, you know, I have to kind of keep revisit these things and inventory and stuff and my actions on these relationships and how, you know, I'm making progress, but I'm still, like, sometimes I'll revert back to that stuff, you know, not any, like, you know, I'm married now, so it's a little different, but it's like, you know, in the past, like, I would fall back and see different things, and it's something that, you know, actually, this ideal in this willingness to grow toward it is really, like, I feel like now that I'm married is really, like, where I'm at my best at in this aspect, you know, and it's really kind of coming to fruition about trying to grow into that ideal, you know, is because I'm trying to grow with this person in this path, you know, and it's like, and that's why, like, looking at my selfishness has really kind of been something that has been important, you know, and something that I need to constantly be revisiting is that I can be selfish and, you know, whether it's sex, whether it's finances, whether it's, you know, my controlling, like being so controlling on things, you know, it's really something that now has grown that I my wife helps me with this a lot, you know, it's like, she'll point it out to me. She's an AA too, so she might hear this, but, like, you know, like, it's something that it really, like, it really has to be pointed out to me sometimes through her, whether it's arguments or whether it's something like she's just telling me, like, you know, like, we're doing our taxes yesterday, and she's like, you know, why are you so controlling over the money that's coming back? You know, I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. You know, like, you're right. You know, go do your thing or whatever. And so it's something that I constantly have to look at, you know. I really kind of go back to seeing where I step on her toes and she retaliates, you know. And it doesn't have to always have to be about sex. It's just in that relationship that I have with her, you know. And so this, too, is like something that is constantly kind of going back towards, you know, and I'll talk more about that with the next paragraphs. Thanks.
Dan.
When I first got sober, you know, once I had like 30 days sobriety, I got in that mode where, you know, I think I've got this. I've got this. I really do have it. This time is going to be different. Now, so far, that has been the case, yes. But at 30 days, I'm thinking, okay, now I can go out. I can start dating. Da 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 da. This time it's going to be different. This time it's going to be different. And thank goodness for good sponsorship, who, in this case, put on the brakes and let me know in a very kind and loving way that I wasn't all that. And, you know, who in their right mind would want to date you right now? Because, you know, 30 days sober tend to be a little out there. Now, I was on the right path, I believe. And I think I'm not the same person I was when I walked in the door. But again, it was so important for me just to be, you know, willing to listen to someone with some experience, trust them, not get offended when they hurt my feelings, and just have faith that they knew better than I what I should really be doing, that my decision maker was broken and needed some time to heal. That's all I got.
All right, and the last paragraphs we're going to read tonight are on page 70. And it starts off with, to sum up about sex. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision, an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you've made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big chunks of truth about yourself.
I always think of gagging when I think of the last sentence. It's like, ugh. So, anyway, to sum up about sex, you know, I like this paragraph. It's kind of saved my life a couple of times, you know, because I think it kind of gets back to the basics of this program, you know, and we're talking about sex here, but because I feel like that, I don't know, it plays a big part in my craziness, and especially when I was newly sober, I was looking for anything, you know. Now that you take booze away from me, I'm like, what can I fill this hole with, you know? And it's like, you know, women, money, whatever, you know. And so I needed this guidance and stuff like that, and to kind of go back to, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others, you know. It's not like, you know, kind of do it, you know, like just sprinkle it on, you know. It's like work hard and, you know, into helping others, you know, and we think of their needs and work for them, you know. And I think that my experience has been that it doesn't, like, just because I'm helping others and, like, working really hard, I'll try to help them get what they need or do all this stuff, and it quiets the imperious surge. It doesn't take it away. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, think. I'll help you. Think. You know what I mean? Like, I still have this constant, like, this little brain that kind of thinks about myself constantly, and I have to divert it by taking actions to help other people, you know? And it's like, whether it be sex, whether it be finances, you know, a lot of the fears that we talked about in the beginning, like, I have to constantly be doing this stuff to help other people, to get out of myself, to kind of... to have faith that things will work out, but also to, like, kind of get out of myself, for it to stop essentially, like, paralyzing me with fear, you know, because it comes back to fear too with me. And whether, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I think that it's something that I've constantly had to go through. And you know, it's funny, like, dating, I've, you know, before I was married and stuff, and I was part of a big home group, and so, like, I dated a girl that was in my home group, and that's one of the worst things that I did initially was, like, I mean, I'm not saying don't do it, you know, if you do it, whatever, you know. However, I had done this, and, you know, the worst is, like, the breakup, you know, because it's going to happen. I mean, anyway. So the breakup, and you're like, you know, you're like, you go to, say, like, tonight we're going to dinner, you know, and you're like, my ex-girlfriend's gonna be there with another guy, and I would, like, be like, come on, you guy, let's go, you know. And they're like, I would bring the new guy, you know, and I'd, like, although it might have the wrong intentions, you know what I mean, it didn't really matter, you know, because I was taking the right actions, and I was trying to do this to, and a lot of those people, whether they came or gone, they didn't drink that night, you know. And yielded, you know, by not making a ass out of myself, you know. And and so, you know, and in the end, it like it talks about, you know, like I had gotten through this list, and, you know, whether not only with the sex part, but the whole fourth step, you know, here it is, and I feel like it was a kind of like a double-edged sword, where I felt relief initially, because here I've done this step, I've taken some actions, But it's like going to your bank account and checking your ATM and you see and you have like zero, you know, and you're like, oh, cool, I don't have any money, but I don't have any money, you know, and it's like, here I am, and it feels like such a long road to like get to, but at least I have like a map, you know what I'm saying? Like, at least I have this here. And so it was, to me, from my experience, it was very hopeful, you know, like, yes, I had created a lot of damage. I wasn't the nice guy that drank too much that I thought I was for the whole time that I was drinking and all that stuff. But I also have some actions that I can take to kind of go with, you know, and kind of relieve me from that stuff, you know. And so it was a good beginning, and it was some big chunks of truth in myself, because I'm not the nice guy that drank too much. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a thief, you know, and I'll do anything that I can to get what I want, you know. And so that's not very tasteful, you know. And that's why I think of gagging, is because I'm like, oh, you know, like I'm such a jerk, you know. But and another thing I'll say about that is that my sponsor always told me that it talks about it earlier, like about the inventory, like the stock and trade of things. I don't need to beat myself up over it with like a whip, you know. I'm really good at doing that, you know. It's just having this stuff and just kind of let's keep going, you know. Like, let's move forward with this, and kind of we have a next step we can take. So that's it.
I really like you talking about, I wasn't the nice guy who drank too much, because that's what I thought. I was just a really nice guy who drank too much. But man, my selfishness knows no bounds. And I may look like I'm being kind and generous and giving, but in the end, it's all about me. What am I getting out of it? And that goes for sex too. I love in that paragraph that it talks about, you know, seeking guidance in every questionable situation, which, you know, we learn in step 10, you know, to always be taking inventory. Step 11, seeking that guidance from a power greater than ourselves, and for the strength to do the right thing. And that's basically the formula that I have tried to maintain the last few years. I fail at it routinely, but I try to stay on the path. You know, thinking about other people and helping other people is always a godsend for me. When I get all up in my head and start thinking about myself and people aren't treating me right and my life is crap, and you know, it's thinking about the newcomer and helping the newcomer and just getting out of my head where, you know, the selfishness originates. You know, that is such good stuff right there. You know, in summary with the fourth step, one of the most valuable things I've ever done, if you haven't, do it. You know, I hear in meetings sometimes people that have gone through it, they make it sound like this is the dreaded fourth step, and it was so hard. And it really wasn't. By the time your fifth step comes around and you're sharing it with your sponsor, you know, there's a relationship of trust there. It's not such a bad thing. For me, it was just my laziness was showing its head. I didn't want to do the work, be honest. And, you know, the willingness to do the fourth step and get that completed, including the sexual inventory, was just freeing. It was liberating, and I just... You know, some people describe getting a lot more relief from it than that. You know, everyone's different. And having uh, Swallowing and digesting big chunks of truth. Yeah, that is. Oh, great. But really, just coming to terms with what is actually what happened in your own life and what is happening in your own life. It's all good in the end. Not to be feared. Don't be afraid of it. Just do it. Get a sponsor. Break the steps. Do it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. All right. At this point, we are going to pass the seventh tradition baskets. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also the intergroup central office, local services, district area, and the general services office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. All right, at this point, are there any AA-related announcements? Yes.
Hey, Michelle.
Yes, in the back.
Hey, Veronica.
Also,
let
the people know we'll be having the Women's Surrendering Brunch on May 3rd. The place is still to be determined. We did it last year, and we decided to make it an annual event. It was that successful. So we're also going to need women to help participate in that also.
Great, thank you. All right, Simple Actions Group is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Would home group members please raise their hands? All right, newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety who would like to welcome you? Yes.
Hey, Dan, welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, welcome.
Any others? All right, there's literature available on our literature table over here. Please see me or any other home group member after the meeting if you're interested in literature. And sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. And our home group does this a little bit differently. We're going to have two volunteers up here to the left of the table, your right, after the meeting. If you have any sponsorship questions, like what is a sponsor, why do I need a sponsor, will you be my sponsor? And would Evan and Debbie raise their hands? They'll be the two volunteers standing up here. All right, in closing, I'd really like to thank Dan and David. Dan, thanks for driving all the way down from Richmond. All right, after we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step we discussed tonight. All are welcome to attend the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol, which is a nice little Mexican restaurant down here at 22nd and Colonial. We usually have 20 plus people show up, so please feel free to come.
Special announcement.
Oh, we do have a special announcement here. We have our flyers. I'm going to let David.
Hot off the presses. Mark your calendars for April 21st, right here in this room. Tom Ivester from Southern Pines, North Carolina, is going to be our featured speaker. We're going to do a supper and a speaker. It'll be a 6 p.m. potluck, and then the meeting will start at the regular time, 7, with Tom I speaking, April 21st, right here in this room. And I've got yellow flyers. You can have them, too.
All right, can I get a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
Yes.
Holly.
Please help us close the Lord's Prayer.
Kingdom, power, and glory, forever and ever.